Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we hear the Christmas story a la the Gospel of John. It's verse 14, by the way. That's the whole Christmas story, according to John, is that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Thus, Jesus. It is interesting how Matthew and Luke have these extended narratives of all of the events leading up to Jesus' birth. Mark starts with John the Baptist, and John starts with this beautiful, poetic description of who Jesus is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. There's a TV show that was pretty popular probably about 10 years ago called Undercover Boss. Anybody ever watched that one? Where the CEO of the company would dress up like somebody else and sort of see how his employees on the ground level functioned, and you know, and they wouldn't recognize him as the boss. Most of them probably wouldn't have recognized him if he didn't dress up, because the CEOs of the companies are rarely recognized by the people who are working in the trenches, so to speak. But it was always, you know, startling to them when they would reveal that he was the boss and he was the one who was supposed to be, you know, in charge of everything. And they were amazed that he was able to, you know, come in and do the things he did, and then he could grant all their wishes, so to speak, like a genie. John describes Jesus coming into this world sort of like Undercover Boss, because he was the one who created it all, right? Jesus, with God the Father and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, there together in creation, and as God spoke the Word, things happened and things were created, and so Jesus is part of that creating team of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And verse 3 of John says that all things were made through him, and then it's very confusing. Without him was not anything made that was made. In other words, there wasn't anything that existed that God didn't create, that it was all made through Christ, and nothing was there that he didn't make. In other words, there were no infiltrations from outside. It was created. If it was created, it was created by Christ. So he made everything. So you would think the one who made everything would be recognized by those whom he made. But Jesus comes as the Word made flesh, and the world doesn't recognize him. The creation doesn't know who he is. And in fact, he comes to his own people, the ones that ought to know, that ought to know who he is, because they've had the description from the beginning. They've always talked about the description of who this was going to be, and they ought to have known, but they didn't recognize him. He was, for them, in disguise. He came as the baby in the manger that we sing about. But they didn't know him, because they expected when the Messiah would come, the Savior would show up, that he would be somehow the savior of their imagination, the powerful, mighty, you know, conquering hero. And Jesus, the creator of all things, chose to come in a way that they weren't ready to see. It says he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Verse 10 says he was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He was the undercover boss. He showed up and nobody recognized who he was. As the story unfolds, we realize that some do. Some do eventually recognize who he is, at least to some extent. First, Mary and Joseph, of course, because they have the inside scoop, so to speak, from the angels who told them what all these things were going to be. And then there were the shepherds who the angels, once again, had to tell the shepherds that this was who they would find. And so once they saw him, then they recognized him, at least, again, to some extent. And then the Magi from the East, they recognized him from all of their star charts and things, that something was going on. And they recognized him as king of the Jews, but again, not in the same way. And so they kind of recognized him. There's another TV show where famous people would take jobs like at fast food restaurants, and people would say, "Hey, you know, you did anyone ever tell you you look like so-and-so?" And they say, "I get that all the time." You know, that was the whole gist of the show, is these, you know, famous celebrities would, you know, be recognized, but not really be recognized, because who would have thought that the celebrity would be there at McDonald's, you know, ordering or serving up my order? Who would think that? Well, this is, again, similar as John describes. See, there are no new stories. I'll just say that, you know. Hollywood's not inventing anything, okay? This has been done from days of old. Jesus shows up and his own people don't recognize, you know, you look familiar, but it can't be, right? You can't be the Savior. I mean, you might be, but you can't be. I get that all the time, Jesus says. Eventually, as Jesus lives out his life and we follow in the Gospels, his ministry on earth, we see glimpses, places where he is recognized for who he is. When it says here in John 1 that the world did not know him, his creation, his cosmos didn't recognize him because he wasn't in that creator position. And yet, when he tells the wind and the waves on the Sea of Galilee to quiet down, it listens. It recognizes him as the one who made them. When he wants to walk on the water to get to the other side of the sea, the water says, "Yes, we recognize you, Jesus." So creation begins to recognize who he is, and he begins to display his power over creation. Then slowly but surely, some come to recognize and believe in him. Those who are healed when they're blind, or the man who is lame who gets up and walks, and the one whose ears are opened, or even Lazarus, who knew who Jesus was, but when he's raised from the dead, sees Jesus on a whole nother level. Eventually, he begins to get recognized for who he is. See, even the demons. See, there's the key, right? When he goes into the synagogue and the man comes in who's possessed, and he says, "We know who you are. We recognize you." The evil ones, the demons, recognize who he is. They know. But he tells them, you don't get to say anything. You may recognize me, but you don't get to say anything. And in fact, I'm going to put you in your place. Get out of here. So he sends the demons packing. They recognize him. Even more than his own creation recognized him, the evil demons, the minions of Satan, if you want to say it that way, recognize who Jesus is. They know his power. Came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. And as he begins to get recognized, they turn against him. His own people, the ones he came to seek and save, turn against him. They recognize who he is. At least, again, on some level, they know that he's there to set them straight, because he kind of says so several times, sometimes wrapped in story, sometimes outright, as he calls them whitewashed tombs, or as John calls them, a brood of vipers. I mean, they recognize when they're being called out. So they turn against him. They turn against the creator of the world. The one full of grace and truth, they turn against him. And he ends up on the cross, where once again, there is one who recognizes him. The one who turns to him and says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." While the other two mock, one recognizes. while the world around, as it comes by, Matthew says, they wagged their tongues at him. If you read the old language, I don't know how it looked, that looked, but it had to be insulting. And Mary recognized him because he was her son. There were those. And as John continues to say, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh nor of the will of man, but of God. So the one who created it all, who wasn't recognized when he came into his creation, who showed who he was through what he did and what he said. For all of those who, even at the beginning, caught a glimpse of who he was and believed in him, he said, you get to become children of God. Even if you're not in the line of Abraham, even if you're not descended from this group, even if your pedigree doesn't say so, even if you weren't born and bred Lutheran. Sorry. I was talking with Patrick Cox yesterday. I don't know how many of you know him. He's a member over at Hope, and he's going to the seminary in Fort Wayne, and he's in his fourth year. And he didn't come up through the Concordia system. I didn't come up through the Concordia system. And so when we got to the seminary, they all wondered how we got there, because we weren't part of the Lutheran pedigree. But somehow they still said that I could be ordained. He gave the right to become children of God. So all of us who recognize who Jesus is, who know, even though sometimes we may not say so because of whatever environment we're in, we might feel hesitant. Even though sometimes we might not display it in our actions, might not always be the best example. There was somebody who once said, you may be the only Bible that somebody ever reads. And I think to myself, good Lord, I hope not. Because I'm certainly not a shining example. And yet, Jesus, as the song goes, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Doesn't depend on who I am or what I do or any of that. As the Word that was made flesh, that chose to dwell among us, to be one of us, who recognizes us as his children. This Christmas, we celebrate a whole lot more than just the baby born in Bethlehem. That was just the beginning. Because there's so much more to the story. There's so much more to being one who recognizes Jesus, to being recognized by him. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. And once again, the offer.